Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.
Blake, I had quite the week of celebrity sightings recently.
Toby, how many times do I have to tell you that looking in the mirror is not a celebrity sighting?
Welcome to the Church Gear Podcast, where we pull the tech director out of the booth and onto the stage to share the most outlandish stories and hidden wisdom from the tech trenches. And now, here are your hosts.
I'm Blake Hodges, the only person at the company to spread the word of church gear at HOA meetings, and I'm here with my co-host and the president of his HOA, Toby Walters.
I am definitely not the president of my HOA. They've tried to, like, rope me into being the social coordinator, and I was like, nah.
Toby, coming up with rules and enforcing them and just being rules, rules, rules is your total personality, though. You would love HOA.
Oh, yes. Rules are rules.
No, the HOA is kind of the antithesis of your being.
So I had quite a very short time of celebrity sightings. Like, they all happened in the same week. And I think celebrity sighting is kind of a science. So no offense, but if you live in Omaha, Nebraska, your chance of seeing a celebrity is probably pretty low.
Yeah, your best odds are just seeing Omaha, you know, the thing from Peyton Manning's call sign back in the NFL days.
Omaha!
Omaha!
So, Franklin, Tennessee, like, celebrities are just moving here. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think Franklin is amazing, but it's kind of the new it place for celebrities to be like, ah, I'm from New York, I'm from LA, but let's get a place in Franklin.
Right, which, you know, that's why we live here, because we'll be celebrities one day, right, Toby?
One day. I mean, speaking of looking in the mirror.
There we go.
Yes. So it started off with I went and just picked up sushi to go at my favorite little spot in Franklin. And I'm standing at the counter, and as close as I am to you, Blake, where I could literally reach out and touch you, I look over and I'm thinking, oh, there's Luke Bryan.
No way. So he likes the same sushi place.
He does. So... And I'd never seen him in person, and I'll confess on this podcast, like, I'm not a fan of country music, and especially Luke Bryan's music. I'm like, this is just not my vibe.
You know Brian's just going to cut this, right? Because Brian loves country music.
I don't know that he loves Luke Bryan, though.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm standing there, and I'm looking at him. He's right next to me, and I'm thinking, I think that's Luke Bryan. And so when he got up to leave and he said goodbye to the owner, and he actually, like, said hello to a couple that was, you know, standing at the door waiting to get his table. And so after he left, I kind of leaned to him and said, that's Luke Bryan, right? They're like, yep. It's like, okay, cool.
And then Toby texted me, who's not in this story physically, and just says, having sushi with Luke Bryan basically on the podcast. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we essentially had sushi together.
There you go.
We go way back. So fast forward like 2 days later, I'm sitting in church, and we sit in roughly the same spot every week, you know, as close as we can get to our little section there. And one of the, do you call them ushers?
I don't know. I think usher is trademarked. It's a rapper.
Well, the trademarked usher comes down and he puts two little little towels over the top of two seats right in front of my wife and I. And the towels say reserved on them. And he said, hey, just, you know, if you can keep an eye out, like, just reserve these seats. I'm like, okay. And I assume that it's like maybe a handicapped person, like, needs to sit there specifically so that they can have easy access or their wheelchair can fit there. I didn't know. So eventually... a couple comes, and, like, they're a bit older, so they come and sit down, a husband and wife, and I don't know who it is, and somebody leans over to me and says, that's the governor of Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay. So now that we are maybe post-COVID, our church actually does, like, greet your neighbor, like, shake the hand of somebody around you. So during that time, I got to shake the governor's hand again, like, I don't care that he's the governor. Like, cool. But later in the service, we do communion. So at our church, we do communion every week. And as everyone does these days, they have the little communion cup things with the foil on top that you have to start like 4 minutes ahead of time.
Oh, it is. Yes. I'm so glad you've said this. It is so hard to get that thing opened.
And unless you have like longer fingernails to get under that, like they make the body of Christ extremely difficult to get into. So I'm sitting right behind the governor and he is trying his best to open his, you know, communion cup. And he finally gets the top layer open and the body of Christ goes flying out and rolling down the aisle.
Oh, no. Does the Secret Service go and get it?
So and he doesn't have any security. Apparently, I'm his security because I'm sitting right behind him. I saved a seat.
Well, that's not good because I'm your security. I'm not in this story.
So I lean up and I tap him on the shoulder and I'm like, I saw that. I saw what you did to Jesus.
You said that to him?
I totally did.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I don't know if I have dirt on the governor anymore now that I'm saying it on our podcast.
Well, let's use that to get him to approve our warehouse in Franklin.
Totally. I've already done it. Like now Church Gear is the official small business of Franklin, Tennessee. Although he's not the governor of Franklin. He's the governor of Tennessee.
Well, that's Franklin falls under his jurisdiction.
Perfect.
Let's blackmail him.
So, Governor Lee, obviously I have dirt on him now, and I'm...
Because there's also dirt on the body of Christ now as it's rolled down the aisle.
Threw him on the ground. So, and I also am going to surprise you with this one, Blake. My wife and I went to New York just recently.
No, dangerous.
No, safe.
Goodness.
So we're in New York, and we just love Central Park. It's one of our favorite places on the planet. So we love to just go walking through Central Park, and there's always interesting things and people to see. There was like a jazz trio. There was a man and walking his dog, and then a bit of a crazy person just yelling and screaming at him. And he, you know, starts yelling for anybody like, call the police, put your weapon down. And the crazy person's like, you stay out of my way. Like it was just,
this is what I'm talking about for danger, Toby.
It was fascinating, Blake. I was at least 50 yards away, so I was safe.
Yeah, so, bullets do not travel 50 yards.
So as we're walking through Central Park, we walk by a person. And after we walk by them, my wife and I both look at each other, was like, was that who we think it was? And both of us were like, that was that person. So I then went on the internet and looked where this person lives. And sure enough, this person has an apartment on the Upper East Side, just near the park. And that was absolutely that person. This person was just on a jog through Central Park. So I'm going to give you a few clues and see if you can guess this person.
Oh man, I make these outlines for the podcast and this is a surprise. I wasn't ready. Okay.
So this person is in the, you know, TV and film space.
Okay. Pete Davidson.
No, incorrect. This person is in the comedy space.
Oh, Dave Chappelle.
No, this person is widely known for creating The Office.
Oh my gosh. I've listened to an interview with him on the Armchair Expert podcast, but I don't remember his name.
This person hosted the Oscars.
Well, hang on. No, I know who you're talking about. He created The Office, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about at this point.
Ricky Gervais.
Oh, wait a minute. You meant the European office.
The British office.
Okay, well, you did. Michael Shore is who I was thinking of.
It was not Michael Shore. It was Ricky Gervais.
That's cool.
So we walked right by. I mean, maybe he was walking when we walked by, but maybe he jogs other times.
Well, that's fun.
And I had one final celebrity sighting.
And we saved the best one of these for last.
We totally did. This guy is the biggest celebrity I've ever met in real life. And he is handsome as handsome could be. Like the first time I saw him in real life, I was like, oh my gosh, that's that person.
Well, it's not just how handsome he is. It's also like that voice. It's so it's calming. So
yes.
Well, also, yeah, soothing pulls you in.
Yes. So your favorite Mojo's Tacos. Mm-hmm. I like it a reasonable amount. It's not the greatest tacos on the planet, but very good still.
Look, I only love or hate things. I have nothing in the middle. So
Mojo's Tacos in Franklin. And were you not with me, Blake?
Actually, I think I saw him first.
Did you see him first?
I think I did.
Man, maybe we should just talk to the man himself.
We should. Well, let's bring him in then. The man that we've had tacos with and we could not enjoy more. Stephen Brewster joins us on the podcast today live in Philo. So you might hear some music in the background. You might have some people jumping in and out. But let's go to that recording with Stephen Brewster. And you can join us as well as we get to hang out with him. You're joining us live from Philo Conference. If you hear any noise in the background, it's our friends at Philo. And speaking of friends, we've got a friend, Stephen Brewster, here, is joining us today. He leads the Harmony Group, and they help churches release music. Stephen, thanks for joining us here at the conference.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure to be here. I'm so excited.
I can't overstate just how impressive it is that Stephen fit us into his schedule, Toby, at a conference.
And we just saw you at Mojo's Tacos in Franklin.
Yeah.
We live in the best place in the world.
We do, 100%.
Yeah. Last time I saw someone famous, because we think you're famous. So
a long way from it was. It.
We ended up in line with Need to Breathe.
Oh yeah,
yeah, getting tacos.
They're way famous. They're really famous. I'm not.
But in terms of who I had a better experience running into, Stephen Brewster or Need to Breathe, I had more fun conversation with Stephen.
I mean, I talked to you. So
they talked to us a little bit.
Yeah,
good. Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, this is all a joke. Need to Breathe is actually really cool and awesome. But
I met Justin Timberlake at a Memphis Grizzlies game.
There you go.
We went to the game, and a friend of ours gave us tickets. We were on the front row, and he sat behind us. So technically, we had better seats than Justin Timberlake.
That should have been one of your truths or a lie.
I have more if you want, like more lies. I can tell. Now, that was actually a truth, but
you're kind of a liar.
I mean,
Stephen, you do know if you lie in church, it's a double sin. We're in Willow Creek right now.
We are. That's it. That's right.
All right. So we have got our six truths and a lie.
Okay.
It's five.
Well,
learn to count. Lie number one is you know how to count.
You pay me to talk, not to be smart. All right. Because if you pay me to be smart,
I must pay you a lot of money because you never stop talking.
That's actually really good. Okay. Number one, I have lived in four different countries. Number two, I have attended six different colleges. Number three, I have coached varsity basketball. Number four, my addiction is Coke Zero. Number five, I was part of a rap group. And number six, I have met Kanye West.
Okay.
What are you drawn to the most there?
Well, what I was drawn to was when you said, I am addicted to Coke Zero. And I was like, are you going to finish that thought? Or
the pause was actually very amazing.
Yeah. I think they call that a pregnant pause.
Yeah, it was very pregnant. So my first question, you're not a tall man.
Whoa, no? We're going to burn him down at the very beginning.
I mean, yet he's coaching varsity basketball. That seems like a stretch. Oh,
hang on. Bill Belichick, though, greatest coach in NFL history, never played football, I'm pretty sure. So sometimes you can teach what you can't
do. But I think he's taller than Steven, so.
I don't think
so.
Most
people are.
It's qualification.
Steven, just know that I'm sorry for the height jokes. All right. Six different colleges feels too expensive to literally be financially feasible. So I feel like that's got to be that's probably the lie.
Okay. I'm going to go with Coke Zero.
You're going to go with, okay.
I feel like it was too easy.
Here's the thing. The one I want to be true the most always ends up being a lie. The one I want to be true the most is I was part of a rap group. But I think it's got to be the colleges. So I'm going to lock in the colleges.
And we need to specify rap is R-A-P, not W-R-A-P. Like he might be rapping, it's presents at Nordstrom for Christmas.
Yeah, no, it's straight hip-hop.
Okay.
I'm not in a rapping group.
Well, we've got some rappers at our company. They wrap that gear up. So
yeah, the bubble wrap boys.
There we go.
Oh. Okay.
I'm locking in the colleges.
Okay, I'm going to say Coke Zero.
You're both wrong.
Well, we've heard that before.
And that's not a lie. I was not in a rap group.
But why is that?
I don't know. I love hip-hop music. I've always loved hip-hop music.
Can you rap?
I mean...
Do you want to drop a beat right now?
When I was young... No, we're not going to do that today. This is not the right environment for said activities, but...
I'll beatbox if you need me to.
I mean, you can do that for sure. We should def do that. But I've always loved hip-hop, but I just never was in a group, so...
Were you asked to be in a rap group?
Well, I learned today that maybe you may have Facebooked me one time to be in a group. But
yeah, in 2012, I asked you to be in my band, and you straight up ignored me?
Not intentionally, though. Uh-huh. Let's make that clear, that it's Facebook Messenger. To me, that's like the literal black hole. Like, of all the inboxes that I have, that's the one that never gets checked.
I want you to know that this is you not replying to his message, though, is the whole motivation for Church Gear. When Toby's like, we're going to be a successful company, so Stephen Brewster regrets never replying to me. That's what he always says.
I knew if I had linked up with Stephen Brewster, like, I'd be a superstar right
go
now.
Go where you need to go for the motivation, but that would definitely not be true.
Which I appreciate, because I wouldn't have a job otherwise, so thank you for not replying.
Welcome. Maybe you'd be in my band, too.
Oh, I would be terrible.
What kind of band is this, anyway?
Like, just rock worship.
I'll be the band manager. Worship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So are you the lead singer? Do you play the drums, bass? What do you?
I was the lead guy and rhythm guitar.
Lead and rhythm. Okay. Yeah.
And his voice doesn't sound anything. His speaking voice and his singing voice are really different.
My singing voice sounds like this.
Nope. It sounds better than that, which sucks because I don't. His singing voice is not like gives you the Fabio image. Like you kind of imagine that's the guy who's singing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I look at you, I think Fabio.
Brad Pitt.
No,
right?
No, that's why it's so jarring. It's like,
they don't match up.
What
can you sing for us right now?
What does Fabio sing like?
I'll beatbox and you sing. How about that?
Oh my gosh. I don't think these mics are.
Memories alone in the moonlight.
Okay. Goodness gracious.
The alarm went off at a very key time. I don't
know.
It did.
That was the Holy Spirit saying that.
Blake just canceled me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, so speaking of people who have been canceled, I'm just kidding.
He has not. Pivot.
You've met Kanye West.
Yeah, a couple times.
Let's head to that direction, to the left.
Yeah.
What was that like?
He was great. I mean, we're not homies by any means, but we met at a video shoot and we met at an award show, and he was super kind, very cordial, very engaged, really great guy.
Did he ask you to be his campaign manager for his presidential campaign?
He asked me to be
campaign?
In his rap group, but I was like, bro, come on.
You're like, look
at
the
world's
face.
Not ready for this.
Well, this is great though, Toby. He turned down Kanye West and you, so now you got to feel better.
You're in elite company.
Wow.
I would run for president with you.
Yeah.
Before I would run for president with him.
So. Would you be the vice or do you want me to be
definitely
your
the
vice?
No, okay. I'll be the vice. You can be the
what
president.
What is my platform? What am I running on?
Toby has had other vices that are worse than you, mm-hmm. So this is great.
Oh, well, yeah. It's good to know.
Your what vice is coke, his is cocaine.
What am I promising the American public?
I mean, lower gas prices.
How about lower gear prices?
Better gear prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I would love gas to be cheaper.
I mean, we all need it.
Yeah.
We do work with gas, you know, gear addiction syndrome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you coach varsity basketball?
Yeah. I mean, I love basketball. So I actually went to, when I went to college, one of the six, I actually was going to school to be in education so I could coach basketball. Like that was my goal. Like I wanted to be a college basketball coach, but did it for a few years, loved it, but didn't love the education side. So
did you throw chairs?
I mean, I got in trouble one time. I was not Bobby Knight, but I am a 3 on the Enneagram, so I'm very competitive.
Ooh, yeah.
And so I do not like to lose.
You are such a chill spirit, though. I cannot fathom you like getting riled up.
There's very
need to see
few
this.
Things that get me riled up. But
what are they? So we can poke
Miami
at them.
Hurricanes football definitely gets me riled up. So like when the Hurricanes are on, my kids will tell you like it is dangerous.
Is it a different father? Are they like, that's dad?
They're like, there's something wrong with you. Like we're scared. And yeah, there's not many things that get me that kind of riled up, but yeah. But coaching basketball is one. I hate losing. Absolutely hate it. So
So so then you thought about doing education. How do you end up doing music to the degree that you're doing? Because that's pretty crazy.
My parents are missionaries, lived around the world, high school, Florida, college, a bunch of places as we've talked about. Dropped out of school my senior year with a semester to go, moved to Nashville to go in the music business.
Your parents love that?
They thought it was the best idea ever.
Oh, great.
No.
You're being sarcastic.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm so bad at sarcasm.
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. They were like, what are you doing, bro? And then so I ended up going back. I made a promise to my mom I'd go back and get my degree. So I ended up getting a degree in organizational leadership. But I was doing music business while I was getting my degree in Nashville. Loved it. And my last job in the music business was I went to Mobile, Alabama. Worked at Integrity Music. Was running the marketing department there. Left there to move back to Nashville. So I was one of the few people who've moved to Nashville to get out of the music business.
What?
And went to Cross Point Church, which we have mutual friends at Cross Point.
Seth and Drew.
How old are you when you go to Cross Point? I'm trying to get some timeline here.
You're 27 now, so.
Yeah, well, actually, I have, in the most Kanye way possible, I have actually divorced myself from my birthday, so I will never celebrate another birthday. I'll never know how old I was again.
There you go.
So it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving is what I called it. So
well, it used to give once a year, but now it doesn't give at all.
No more. I never have to deal with that embarrassment.
Okay.
Let me think. It would have been like 2010. I went to Cross Point.
Okay. Yeah, just trying to put some time.
So 2010, I was at Cross Point. We were there till the end of 2016, and then crazy stuff happened, as you guys probably heard all about. And left there, went to a couple other churches, started getting healthy. And about it's 4 years ago, last week, I started my company helping churches release music. And so I texted two of my friends and said, you probably don't need any help with your music, but if you did, I would love to talk about it. And they were like, man, we've talked about your name specifically for the last 4 years, but you've always had a job. And so we didn't feel like we could poach you. And so I started working with them, and I've been with Elevation, helping them release music for 4 years now. And like 2 weeks later, God put me in a room with SCU Worship. And then since then, he's just brought one church after another. And so it's a very unique thing, because there's not many people in the music business that have led on an executive level in the church. I was executive creative arts pastor and been an executive level leader in the music business. And so I've gotten to do both. And so I have a unique lane that's a little different than other people that are in the music business, probably.
So I heard it described to me that you sort of act as executive producer for Elevation Records.
Yeah, that's probably a little stretch.
I was going to say, like, give us in the weeds. Yeah. Like, what is it?
Every team is a little different based on what that team needs. Elevation has a full, like, label team. So when I started there, I was helping with a lot of marketing plans, marketing development. Then I went and helped find some artists that are part of Elevation Rhythm. And now I help all the relationships with the distribution company, the publishing company, and the DSPs. So Apple, Spotify, I kind of help us like strategize and release how we're going to release a record. So with Elevation, it's that way. With some of the other churches, it's a little bit more full service, where management, label services, kind of a thing. So.
And how often do they ask you to rap on these records?
Well, so far we're like, we've probably released 20 records in 4 years, and we're 0 for 20. So
that is brutal.
We're keeping it a secret, really.
I feel like we need to put it out there on this podcast.
It's coming out on this podcast. This is the most I've talked about my rap career, or non-existent rap career ever. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So is it true that so much of success in music is actually logistics and not marketing? I've heard so much of it. I've got a friend who, she works at a marketing company specifically for Christian artists.
Wow. That's a niche.
Yeah, I know, right? It seems like so much of the success is really just laying down the logistics.
I mean,
and the distribution, that kind of stuff.
It takes good system and distribution for sure. But really, it's songs. You got to have good songs. So you can have the best team in the world. If you have crappy songs, it's going to do okay. If you have great songs and a crappy team, it's going to do
better.
Pretty well. Right. Yeah. You have a great team and great songs, then it's going to really work. And so
I wrote this song called Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Never heard of it.
We could do something with it?
I believe so.
Okay.
You sure you wrote that?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
How often when you walk in the room, do you get an instant like sense of, oh, good team, good songs, this is going to be good? Like, how quickly do you feel like you kind of know?
I mean, so even when I help churches with leadership stuff or creative coaching and development, you can tell how creative a team is. You don't know if it's going to be good or not, but you can tell how committed they are to creativity by some of the environment that they create. So I always can tell when I walk in, if there's music playing in a creative suite, that team is intentionally chasing creativity. If you walk in and it sounds like a library, they're not purposefully creating an environment that fosters creativity. And so that's like one of the telltale signs. Another telltale sign on the music side is how engaged the pastor is. If the pastor is supportive and engaged, the music has a way better chance of succeeding. So,
what do you attribute that to? Just having their support to push it?
Their support. They're not fighting the battle of why this matters and why it's important and why we should invest there. So
when I see, you know, Elevation songs coming out and I see Furtick's name on the writer list, is he Furtick so he gets to put his name on there, or is he like the writing process?
If you ask anyone in our town, which you live in our little town,
I do.
Anyone in town will tell you that Pastor Stephen is an amazing songwriter. And so he may be one of the best in our industry. to be honest with you.
That's amazing.
That's a high compliment coming from you because you see a lot of it.
He is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Would you say he elevates every song he writes on?
Yeah. You're fired for that joke.
What if I say, okay. So churches are producing their own records.
And luckily, Blake, I know someone who's good at marketing.
I was about to say, Stephen.
he keeps talking about marketing and you're making these horrible jokes. So.
If you sit here for too much longer, mm-hmm. we will have hired you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm 100%. Good with that. I'm always looking for a job.
So when you see churches that are producing their own records or they're contemplating it,
yeah.
How does that process really look like? And have you ever talked a church out of producing their own record?
I have.
Okay. I'd love to hear the
So I think every church should write music. And I think every church should release music. But not every church is ready to be in the music business, right? And truthfully, I feel like part of my ministry and my calling in this season of life is to keep them out of the music business. If I'm doing my job right, the worship leader is able to pastor people, develop teams, create volunteer events and value volunteers, write songs, and they're not worrying about all of the other things that get caught up in the music side. And so, but every church should be releasing music. Every church should be writing songs for their church because songs can be the soundtrack to the ministry that's happening in your church. And so when you have really, like, if you think about Elevation as an example, since we've talked about them, the songs that everyone knows from Elevation are usually songs about faith. Pastor Stephen preaches about faith all the time. Those two messages align, and that's the heartbeat of the church. And so churches create worship music that's the sound of the ministries. And when they do that well, and they're writing for their church, their congregation, their people, then it creates the right reasons to make music.
So. Wow. That's really deep. So you kind of feel like there is an intrinsic value to the church writing music that they feel like is written specifically for their church's location, their place, 100%. The things they're going through.
And the things that matter to them and their pastors and their teams. Like, if your church is all about missions, then you should be writing songs about missions, you know? And you're going to probably write songs that are different than what other people... The problem is churches end up going and trying to write the same song everybody else has wrote, right? And so then it's just imitation, not creation, which at that point is frivolous. So,
no, I love that. Stephen Brewster just has empowered you to, yes, do creation, not imitation. I think that's good.
Okay, I want some logistical information.
Uh-oh.
So growing up, you know, a live record to me was like U2 Under a Blood Red Sky.
Yes.
And you've got a 4-piece band and it sounds live. And so then, you know, fast forward and like, you know, Passion's doing their thing.
Right.
And then Elevation's doing live records. And I want to know what percentage of these Elevation records that we listen to that sound live but also sound like perfection are recreated then in the studio?
So depending on which album, but like Graves in the Gardens album, a lot of that was live.
So do they create the skeleton live and then go back and overdub a lot of stuff?
Mm-mm. Not on Elevation doesn't do a ton of overdubs. Every church is a little different, and some of it is in how you capture and who you have helping you capture, right? And so sometimes you do it. The more work you do on the pre-production side, the better the live actual capture is going to be.
That's why I spend 39 hours a week working on podcast prep.
So that
See,
1 hour
he
is
just
baller.
Co-signed it. Yep. There
Way
we
to
go.
Way to go, my man.
Thank you, Stephen.
How come this is so rough, Blake?
Just imagine if he didn't have the 39 hours. All
right, imagine if he only went 38 hours on it.
Oh, man.
Oof. Oh, I did that 1 week. We'll tell you which one. All right.
We can listen and find out. No, but I think, you know, pre-production matters a lot. And
So you do pre-production. Let's just take an average Elevation record. I don't know how you measure that. You do pre-production. You do all the rehearsals. What's, you know, are they doing one night where they're doing the record?
So one night, but no church does just one night of recording. So they'll record the rehearsals. They'll record the run-throughs. They'll do 2 or 3 run-throughs so that they can capture video content that you can't capture when there's 3,000 people in the room. And record all of those. You're taking every capture as if it's real. And then at the end, you can go back and piece together what becomes a really good live record. So,
and is that, I mean, obviously you have to be to a click track. You've got to be doing the exact arrangement each time and then just be really well rehearsed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's preparation, you know, like, and it would be fun. Creatively, we all want there to be, like, the lights to come on and we're just amazing. But the truth is, in anything that you do, It, you know, stewardship, effort, energy is your control. How it turns out is God's control. And so part of stewardship and effort is making sure that you rehearse and you prepare and you do all that work.
So would you say that Blake rehearsing for 39 hours for this podcast is putting in that stewardship, but then God's in control of the results? So you're saying God's
in control
failing?
Of how many people listen to it.
Okay.
I was about to say, do I now get to be infinite? Because yes, Kobe can't make fun of me anymore if he's making fun of God. Okay.
That's tough. I'm going to step back on that one and let you guys duke it out.
Speaking of tough conversations, when you talk to a church, what are the things that you're looking to either see in terms of how they operate or hear in terms of where their heart is of like, this is a church that I would say should produce their own record?
Yep.
Like what are those moments where you're all the boxes are getting a check mark.
So if I'm hearing anything about how fast we're going to make money or recoup our money, that's a red flag for sure. Because I don't know a single pastor or executive pastor who's walked up to the kids ministry and been like, hey, when are we going to start getting an ROI on these goldfish? Like these diapers, I need to see some return on these diapers. Well, even though music has a profitable lane to it eventually at some point, we shouldn't be making music for profit for the church. We should be making music as another ministry of the church. We wouldn't ask the youth pastor when the youth camp is going to turn profitable, right? So if we're approaching music with that lens, that's a very quick red flag for me. I usually tell churches, don't plan on recouping your money for 5 to 7 years. And that's a good litmus test to what their appetite really is. If they're ready to stomach what it's going to take to release music. The pastor thing is another flag. Like if I see that, I would rather a pastor be overly involved and micromanaging than not involved or apathetic.
That blows my mind. I would not expect a creative to want more over management. That's fascinating.
Only because
that means there's more buy-in.
There's more buy-in, right? So when they're invested, we all know this. We've all worked in churches where like when the pastor's kids are in kids ministry is the most important thing in the world. When they go into youth group is the most important thing in the world. So when the pastor's engaged, whether they're a songwriter or not, when they're engaged in the music, it's going to make a lot of the other conversations very easy. So.
And when the pastor's kids go to prison ministry becomes the next best thing.
See, I like this guy.
Oh, you're the first one who's ever said it.
But not the last.
I'm just kidding.
People are going to like
then
me,
when they
Blake.
Get old, it's like the the primetimers ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
The Silvers.
All right, so then.
You're getting canceled on that one. Ageism.
No, we love old people, you know? We got Toby here.
Even Stephen Brewster.
Oh my gosh.
It's getting there. That's okay. Why we had to forego the birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
So then that is such a fascinating concept of forgetting, because I'm, you know, business mind.
Yeah.
You're taking the profit out of it. You're like readjusting people's worldviews on this of the money or any kind of fame. Like, no. This is about ministry.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're going to be famous, then don't do it through worship music. Good Lord. Go be a rock star and be amazing at it.
Be Kanye.
Yeah. Like,
you heard it here first, kids. We are recommending you go be Kanye.
Exactly.
If
that's your goal, if your goal is to be famous, then go be Kanye. So I was with the team last night, actually. We were having dinner. And we were talking about, they had just done some touring, and they were asking me to like critique what they did. And I was like, well, there's one thing that I loved that I didn't love at the same time. And I loved that they set up the beginning of their show like a worship night. But what I didn't love is that it didn't have the mystery of like an opening moment. And I was like, if there's a good balance in that. And I was like, but if you're going to err on the side of being a worship night, not being a rock star. And if you're going to be a rock star, then stop doing this. Like, get back on the plane, fly back to where you're from, and just go start gigging in bars and become a rock star and write Morgan Wallen songs. Like, do that, because we don't need celebrity. There's only one celebrity in Christendom, and it's Jesus.
Wow.
What'd you say?
Nothing. We're going to cut that too, because I'm supposed to not make fun of that person. All right.
Well, never mind. So, yeah, there should only be one celebrity.
And if you want to be a rock star, don't Facebook message Steven to be in your band.
If you want anything, don't Facebook Steven Brewster, okay? Like, if you Facebook me, you are really testing your faith.
Hang on. Let's get back to...
Jesus?
Yes. so then if you view these albums as ministry, how do you help all of these different churches Like, what's their unique identifier, their reason for doing doing this album? If tons of churches do them.
Every church,
you know, the market's saturated in a sense. How do you help each church find their unique either angle or reason for theirs existing?
It's the story of the songs. So why did you write these songs? Who did you write these songs for? What do you hope people hear when they hear these songs? Who's the person in your church that you wrote this song for? And when they're starting to answer those questions, it becomes the unique identification of that album, that project, that single. And then you start to see the thread that God's weaving through the whole thing. And now, back to marketing and structure of marketing. Now I'm not telling you, go listen to my new worship song. It's the best worship ever given to Jesus, because how are we going to grade that?
Well, I do that every day in the shower.
Well, yes, you do. I've heard it from my house, actually.
In Franklin.
But
singing in the shower, Tubbs.
What it is, like, now I'm telling the story of, in this season at this church, they had to write these songs because that's what God was telling them to write for their church. And when you write from that place, nobody else is going to have that same story. They may have the same melody. They may have the same lyric idea. They're never going to have the same story. And so now you're writing a unique story that is true to your church.
I love that.
What if a church comes to you? Do you do, like, they say, we want to do a record of, you know, Elevation and Hillsong stuff. Are you doing any?
I tell them, that's great. You should do that.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to learn how to record, right? And if your church hasn't built a culture of writing and they're not writing every single week and they're not doing the things necessary to get great at it, then that's a great next step. Because here's the truth, right? We all live in this world that's full of, I mean, you walk around here today, there's hundreds of churches represented at Philo. The guy who works at Lowe's that lives in your community that sits on the fourth row at your church, when he has a bad day at work and he's flipping through Instagram, he's seeing ads for Bud Light and whatever else. And then all of a sudden his one pastor comes up that he follows, which is the pastor of his church. And when he gets in his car, he doesn't know if your church wrote Graves into Gardens or Great Are You Lord or how, you know, he doesn't know any of that. He thinks your church wrote all those songs, right? He has no idea. So if the best that you can do is recreating somebody else's songs and you create a playlist that you serve and give that as a gift to your congregation to be connected in worship on Tuesday afternoon when they can't be in a service, then that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
So then, speaking of beautiful things, tell us some, like, behind the scenes stories of, like, this is some awesome things that happened. We were recording on this record, or, hey, this was an amazing outcome that we saw where this record actually changed someone's life. Like, What are just some, you've been doing it for a couple of years now, so I'm assuming some things have happened where you're like, this is the thing you want to call your wife and tell her immediately after it happened, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the greatest story I can tell is I worked with Jason Upton several years ago, and we recorded a live album in a small church, and when we went into mix, we could hear something on the record that wasn't an instrument that we didn't record, and
first recording of the Holy Spirit?
It was like an angel was singing on the record.
Oh, you're being
serious?
It was
like super weird, like super crazy.
I'm getting goosebumps.
It was crazy. And like, there was no other explanation of what it could be. And it was like perfect pitch, perfect harmony. And it was just like,
what?
Like, it was just like God allowed us to capture like a small piece of heaven that night. And a totally weird thing.
What,
like,
record is this?
Yeah, where do we hear this?
I have to go and I'll tell you guys and we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm putting a note literally right now to in the notes.
You can hear it. Like, my kids will ask us to play it on the way to church sometimes because it's so crazy. And so that's one. And then, like, a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine, church in Dallas, he texted me on a Thursday and he was a little discouraged by some of what was happening. And then on Sunday he went to church and had three different people walk up to him and tell him stories of how the music that he had been creating for their church had helped them through difficult times, one of them being a time where someone was thinking of taking their life. And so just, you know, it's hard because my heart, my love is the creative class, the local church. Like, that's why I do what I do. And some days when you're talking to Spotify or Apple, you're like, man, I'm a long way from ministry right now. And hearing those stories of how the songs connect to somebody and make a difference for that person, that brings the ministry back to
it. Do you see that a lot where the people who are putting in the work, they never get to see the fruit? I mean, I know that's, like, honestly a gospel story about the growers, the planters, the harvesters. But, like, do you see that often where people are like, I just did all this work and it never did anything, and then 3 years later Yeah. They saw it. Like, do you, right. is there anything well, encouragement and, you could give these people yeah. who are in these seasons of the front part of that work?
Totally. Totally. And I would say that it starts with something that we've already said, which is your job is stewardship, obedience, and effort. God's responsibility is results, right? And so the minute that you start to be consumed with the results, you've now started doing God's job.
So does that mean on the sales numbers, I can just say, sorry, Toby, I didn't hit them this month?
You never hit them, so...
Why change the things now?
I'm never leaving this job. I've never gotten in trouble for sales numbers. That's real. That was a real moment. All right.
That's amazing. No.
Sorry,
Steve,
back to you.
So I would just say, I try to tell teams all the time to stay focused on the right thing. What is God saying to your church? What is God saying to your for your ministry? What songs are you writing to tell that story? If you do that and you do that really well, then the results, the outcome, God will take care of that because you're writing the truth of why people come to your church. Whether your church is 200 or 200,000, that's people are coming because they're connected to that thing. So,
can you give any insider thoughts into the tech director that listens to, you know, Elevation Records or goes to, you know, live Chris Tomlin concert and thinks like, how can I recreate just a tiny touch of this in my world back home?
Yeah. So, I mean, first off, you're already sniffing down the right path, right? Because you're like, how do I accomplish what that vibe is, right? Mm-hmm. So listening and watching, like watching how the lights are moving, how they're interacting and if they're becoming distracting or not distracting, that's a first step. Listening is, and then, you know, there's some really powerful resources that we have at our disposal today that 10 years ago or 20 years ago, whenever you Facebook messaged me, we didn't have them back then. You know, MXU is a great one. And
Philo
is a great one. And just being able to always be learning, you know, I think it's so important that we're always in a posture of how do we get better at what we're doing? And so, you know, YouTube, I've learned more from YouTube than I learned in all six colleges. So
that's like your seventh college. Yeah,
YouTube U.
College, you've been put on notice. I'm so serious. YouTube is coming for you.
And one final question. Is it possible to write a great worship song without Jason Ingram?
Well,
yes, but as long as you have Stephen Brewster.
No, I love Jason Ingram.
Oh, the guy's brilliant. He's
and kind and just what a fantastic guy. Yeah. I love Jason so much. I mean, I think it's possible, but it definitely helps if he's in the room. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
him and the Holy Spirit. If you can get those two guys in the room, you're probably cooking the right way. So.
And was the song that the angel sang on?
No, one? Jason Ingram on
no,
that
Jesus.
One.
Ah.
Holy Spirit, yes. Jason Ingram, no.
Okay.
So Stephen, we're going to do double jeopardy with you because you just gave an amazing tech takeaway, but I'm going to ask for another because it wasn't formally in that segment yet.
Okay.
So essentially this is the thing that if you were a church tech director, video, audio, lighting, high level creative director, any of those things, this is something you would say to them that like, you're like, this is my piece of advice. I don't feel like anybody does. Typically it ends up being someone's really unique thing that they found that worked for them early on. What would you give to them as your tech takeaway for advice on what would make their Sunday services better?
So I think can I have a two-part answer?
Yes. I mean, as many parts as you got.
So two parts. The first one is press pause. I think that in the pace of our church culture calendar, we're always going. It's fast, fast, fast. It's Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. And sometimes we have good ideas that if we would just let them marinate a little longer, they could be great ideas, right? So we sometimes run after half-baked ideas. So press pause, whether pause is 5 minutes or 5 weeks, let an idea kind of grow a little bit. That's the first one. The second one is do the exercises that it takes to stay creative. Creativity is a muscle. It's not magic. And so a lot of us creatively think that if we just sit in expensive coffee shops and listen to music we don't know and wear a summer scarf and earrings, all of a sudden we're going to have like creative embers fall upon us. And that would be amazing. But for me, it's always taken work. And your muscles grow when you work them out. So do the exercises that it takes to be more creative.
What are some of those exercises?
So this is one of my favorite things to talk about. But I mean, one of them is just always paying attention, like always looking for that next idea. And then when you identify the idea, write it down. How many times have you guys had a great idea and you're like, I will never forget this idea. And 15 minutes later, you can't remember the idea.
Oh, I have a billion, but Toby said they're all bad.
No, they're terrible. I actually remember mine.
All of them?
I'll tell you how Toby remembers his. He texts them to me immediately.
But see, he wrote it down. He wrote it down.
Yeah, all jokes aside, I told him,
Blake, make this happen.
I've told him to do that. Yeah.
So that's two. And then, you know, I think.
Didn't I tell you, Blake, get Stephen Brewster on the podcast?
Oh, I just got a compliment from Toby. I get one a year.
You may get a raise.
Here we go. Oh, you're the second person that said that this weekend.
Hey, let's go.
I like you, Stephen.
Let's go.
Okay.
I think two, creative people live in rhythms, not routines. So here's what I suspect. You guys wake up about the same time every day when it's not COVID. You do a normal routine to get ready. You get in your car. You back out. The radio station, if it's on the same pop channel, it's playing the same song as it was yesterday. If it's on a Christian channel, it's probably playing DC Talk. You drive the same route to your office. You park in or near the same spot. You grab your bag. You walk in. You pass the same people who beat you to work every single day. Sit down at your desk. Open up your computer. Now be creative. That's the Truman Show. That's not creativity. And so what if you broke the routine? There's a reason why when you travel, you get more ideas, because new perspectives are found when you have a new canvas. So change the canvas every day. You have control of that. Don't work at the same coffee shop. Don't work in your office. Go work in the lobby. Go work in the auditorium. If you work at Willow Creek, this church, you don't ever have to work in the same place. This thing is like Disneyland. It's huge. If you really want to mess somebody up, go sit in their desk before they get there and refuse to get up when they show up at work. They can't handle it. But changing that rhythm every single day will give you new ideas. So that's another one of the little exercises.
Would that apply to my brand guy? Should I change brand guys every 6 months or so?
Whoa. Same person, different place. Same person, different place. No, I can attest to that. Literally, what did I say to you, Toby, yesterday when we got here?
You say a lot of things, Blake.
I do.
By the word. Remember, he gets paid by the word.
That would be great. I told Toby, said, new process. Listen to an audiobook, a business audiobook for a couple hours. Then turn it off. Listen on a road trip. Put on Spotify, some background music, and just let the ideas come to your brain.
And listen to music that you don't normally listen to when you're in that spot.
Yes.
And then always create, another exercise is to always create a playlist for the activity that you're doing. So if you're a church leader and you're working on a kids project and you're listening to Eminem, it's probably not the right vibe.
Right? Depends on the church.
If you're working on a student ministry project and you're listening to Yanni's Greatest Hits, that may not be the moment that you need to be listening to Yanni's Greatest Hits. So we have access to every song ever recorded. Write down, except for that one Wu-Tang record that was just for one person. Nobody has access to that. But every song, create a playlist for every activity that you're doing and theme the music towards the energy that you need around that project. And watch how much more creative you are.
I can attest to this. I've got a couple playlists. I won't say what they are here, but I've got many of them.
Oh, they'll be in the show notes, everybody.
Well, Stephen, man, I really appreciate you coming on. This is where we do plugs for the guest, and clearly we need to outline the communication methods for you clearly so we don't end up with 100.
Do not Facebook message me.
Actually, I would love for someone to Facebook message you.
Hey, that's how I initially got him on this podcast.
There we go.
Yeah.
It worked the one time.
He wrote down his idea, you know?
He did.
But yeah, if...
Now you've got my number, you can just text me.
I don't have it. Do you have it, Blake?
I'll give it to you right now.
I'm getting Stephen Brewster's number. And by the way, we're starting a band. Oh, Jason
great.
Ingram's going to join us, so we'll know.
Great.
We'll have great
songs.
Well,
the songs are going to be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Dope.
The touring's going to be tough because he doesn't like to do that.
And Kanye is jumping aboard too.
I'm in.
Yep. We'll call us All Directions because it'll be, you know, we'll be going every which way. You got West. All right. So, yeah, how can people find you? Maybe you don't want them to find you, but.
No, find me. I love talking to church leaders and trying to help encourage church people that are doing ministry every day. So Instagram, B_REWSTER. You can find me at StephenBrewster.me or theharmony.group.
Awesome. Thanks, man, for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. And hey, congratulations on surviving Sunday. If you happen to make it through next Sunday as well, join us again for your weekly tech breather.
You know, Blake, I think I would review this show as well as the reviews of Stephen and I and Kanye's first album.
Oh, so 5 out of 5 stars, right?
Obviously. I think even 6 out of 5 stars.
You know where I wish we could put 6 stars? The podcast reviews.
But, obviously.
You know, if you're listening to this, if you hear the sounds of my voice, I would love you. Toby would love you. Stephen would love you. If you would give us 5 stars on a podcast review, that'd be nice.
Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast?
it doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.